If you have your Bible or Bible app, please turn with me this morning to John 12, 12 to 16. It says this, "The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, 'Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, 'Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt.' His disciples didn't understand it at the time, that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him." History tells us that there were two parades that day. All four of the Gospels records Jesus' parade, but history records the second parade. You see, the Roman governor of Judea at this time was Pontius Pilate, and he would have come from his palace on the coast of Caesarea to be present in the city for Passover. So basically, he was at his beach home and was coming in for the big day. So why don't we read about this procession in the Gospels? Well, the authors would presume that their audience would already know about the competing processionals, the competing parades. It would be like us talking about a United States presidential inauguration, and you understand that there's going to be a motorcade. You understand that our president will be sworn in at the U.S. Capitol. So there's no need to talk about it. The assumption is made. You already understand it. But in order to understand better Jesus' procession that morning, we have to understand the procession of Pilate. During Passover, the Jewish festival, the city of Jerusalem would have swelled from its usual 50,000 people to many times its normal size. It was a time of celebration, but it was also a time of high tension. And so while the festival celebrated the liberation from the tyranny of Egypt generations before, first century Israel was still under the domination of a foreign power. The Romans had taken over Jerusalem. And so here they were celebrating their independence while they were under the rule of another nation. It would be like us on the 4th of July recognizing our independence, but if another country had taken us over, that celebration would be bittersweet. And so riots and uprisings were fairly common during Passover, so Rome made sure that there was a military presence throughout the week. And so Pilate came to where the action was. And he came and he would put on a great show of power and wealth. And he came above all to make sure that the Jews didn't start making any trouble. And he would have come to remind the Jewish pilgrims who were flooding into the city that Rome was in charge. Now I want you to imagine what the procession would have been like. Pilate's procession coming from the west. Strong horses, foot soldiers, armor, weapons, the beating of drums. It would have resembled a coronation or a ride into battle. Pilate would not have made a subtle entrance from the west. And so for an insecure Roman-appointed political leader who wanted to keep his Jewish subjects in check, this parade entrance would have made a statement. Now let's contrast that with Jesus' entrance from the east. That parade would have been different. Scripture tells us that he came on a borrowed donkey, not a knightly stallion. And so picture this, Jesus, a fully grown man, was riding a colt with mismatched cloaks on it. Now, his feet would have been dangling around the ground as he rode the small animal. And he was unarmed, and he didn't display any type of governmental paraphernalia as he paraded through the streets of Jerusalem. And so there was something a bit tongue-in-cheek, something satirical to what Jesus was doing. He was challenging the social order by taking part in something that typically brought great honor and integrity to the participant, but he added a bit of mockery to it. Now imagine, while Pilate was coming into the city with faceless men marching with him, Jesus was coming into the city with a pretty ragtag group of followers, tax collectors, fishermen, farmers. He had followed by the crowds of people who had been touched and healed by the Son of God, and he came surrounded by shouts of Hosanna, meaning God save us. He was the procession of the humble and the meek. It was the vulnerable who followed him, not those who were going to be intimidated by Pilate's parade. This Jesus was not the governor of an earthly empire, but of a strange new kind of kingdom where the last would be first and the first would be last, where the meek, not the powerful, inherit the earth, where the kingdom belonged to the peacemakers. Jesus' parade on that Sunday was deliberate. It was also quiet, nonviolent, and a non-revolutionary show of power. It was the kind of peaceful but stubborn nonviolence we often associate with the civil rights movements in the 1960s here in the U.S. The quiet but utterly fearless, unshakable display of humility and commitment to the kingdom of God. Two parades on the same day. But with this one, instead of spears, there were palm branches. Instead of well-groomed, stoic soldiers, there were poorly dressed peasants. Instead of order and precision, in this parade, there was chaos. Instead of military cadence, there were shouts of Hosanna. And Jesus, the man leading the procession from the peasant village, rides a donkey. Because you see, when you go into war, you ride a horse. When you have a donkey, you come in peace. And it would have been a vivid contrast between the two parades, two types of pageantry. But it was also a contrast in worldview between Jesus and Pilate. The parade from the west was guided by power and technology. Rome was more than just a city. It was a belief system. Might makes right. The first shall be last. Intimidate, oppress, eliminate your opposition. You use the poor for your advantage. And the Jesus parade was guided by another vision altogether. Find greatness in humility. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Bring wholeness and grace to all people. We think about the two parades that day, and we wonder which one we would have taken part in. Would we have come to see the awe and the grandeur of Pilate's parade? Or would we have joined with the parade of Jesus? All over the world today, two parades are still marching. Parades of power will never go out of style. But the Jesus parade is still marching too. The parade that marches to this quiet but unmistakable, unyielding drumbeat of the kingdom of God. And we see that parade when we see people who care for those who are in need, for the elderly, for the widowed, for the homeless, for the vulnerable, right here in our city, our state, and our country, and our world. This parade goes marching anytime any one of us, in whatever quiet, humble way, stands up for what is right. When we make a choice for peace, when we share what we have, and when we have empathy for someone else, and we hold out a hand to help. And I dare say the parade comes marching through here every Sunday morning. Both parades do. And we gather week in and week out, even if it's not a holy week. And we come and we sing our hosannas and we wave our hands and we lay down the palms and our lives to the one we call the King. And sometimes we don't look like much. Sometimes we look like a ragtag band of followers who took up after Jesus, calling his name, touching out his cloak, reaching out for him, ordinary people gathering together, for no other reason than because we heard the call of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And so we too cry out, Hosanna, save us. And we don't gather here this morning or any morning without purpose. We come to learn to love. We come to learn to love God better. We come to learn to love each other better. We come to be of service to one another, to be obedient in the law of love, and to march in step to the parade of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Two processions, two kingdoms, two parades. Which one will you choose? Because you see, those two parades will take us to very different places. They determine our values, our commitment, and they have radically different outcomes. One parade leads to self-preservation and exclusion and privilege and power, and the other leads to laying down one's own life. And yet it's this parade that ultimately leads to the resurrection and the birth of God's kingdom in the world. It's impossible to follow both parades. We must choose. And in this season, and we'll be sharing the stories of the cross and the empty tomb, and of course the Christian faith is not a spectator sport. It calls for involvement. And so as we walk into this holy week, I want us to think about Maundy Thursday, when Jesus made the new command and when he took communion, Holy Communion, and he instituted it for the first time. I want us to think about Good Friday, the pain and the suffering of the crucifixion. I want us to think about Saturday, when all hope seemed to be lost. And I want us to remember the resurrection that's coming with Easter. But on Palm Sunday, all they knew is that there were two parades and a choice of who to follow. And so we are inviting people to walk in the way of Jesus as Christians in this world. We're inviting them to follow him and join this procession. And when our lives start to become chaotic, I think that as we remember the Palm Sunday story, we're not only called to shout Hosanna and lay down our coats and our palm branches in front of Jesus, we are called to ride that colt into Jerusalem too. Because he looked foolish that day, a grown man with his legs dragging off a colt. But we're called to live into that same kind of upside down kingdom. We're called to live into who we are, and we're called to stand up against anything and anyone that turns us from God. We're called to humble ourselves in front of others, in front of God. God calls us to do more than just show up and watch the parade. God calls us to do more than wave palm fronds as Jesus goes parading by. God calls us to get up and go with him. God calls us to follow Jesus into lives of discipleship. God calls us to join the parade, to put boots on the ground, and to start marching, to give up power, and to take up peace. That's the give and take we talk about this morning in our final series for this Lenten season. Two processions, two kingdoms, two symbolic journeys into Jerusalem. Stallion or donkey, parade or protest, which one will we choose? Because ultimately we choose each and every day. And so as we come this morning on Palm Sunday, we ask God to give us a clean heart. We ask him to give us clean hands, and we ask him to turn our eyes from the things of this world, the things of Pilate, the intimidation, the power, the prestige, the things that we're chasing after, and we ask that he give us instead the eyes to see the procession of Jesus, the people who care for one another, the people who still shout, Hosanna. Let us be the generation that seeks that parade. Two processions, two kingdoms. What do we choose? Give up power and take up peace. That's our prayer for this morning. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the beauty of Palm Sunday. We thank you for the parade that was in the streets that day and that Jesus was hailed as King. But we also know that as that time continued, that the mood would change and the week would change and a darkness would take hold. But God, we also know too that in the midst of all of that, that Sunday, resurrection is around the corner. And so God, this morning we ask that you help us to see clearly the choices that we need to make. Are we going to choose power or are we going to choose peace? Because the questions in Scripture and the questions today remain the same. God, we ask that you give us clean hands and a clean heart. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As you go into this week, we just ask that you examine yourself and you ask which parade you're going to be part of. We have a choice every single day. We invite you to join us on Easter morning. Tom and I will be leading the sunrise service at 6 a.m. and the 10 a.m. service right in here. And so you're invited to either or both. And we look forward to seeing you on Easter. I want to let you know, too, a bit of good news. John, Brother John, is doing very well. And it looks like he will get to go home from rehab on Thursday. And so just thank you for your continued prayers for him and for his family. They are so appreciative, and we'll keep you updated. We'll see you Sunday.